You're holding on Cedric Zion of Bays, the six lines from the bottom. We learned yesterday a case where a person lends money to somebody for produce, meaning it's not a real loan per se. He sold him on credit. And the deal was that he's going to be paying him in a certain amount, in a certain type of coin, and then that type of coin became disqualified. So we discussed, we had Rav versus Shmuel, that Rav had said you have to give him the type of coin that circulates at that time, and Shmuel says you can still give him the old coin because you can tell him you'll find people in Mishon who are willing to accept it. And we discussed yesterday, is it only if the person is going to be going to Mishon anyway, is it if he at least has some way of getting there versus if there's a state of war. It's just an example, yeah. So, Bomine Rava Merav Chista. Hamavas Chaver Al Amafeya. What happens in another such case? A person lends his friend money, again, not really a loan per se, but rather that he bought from him, he's selling him produce on credit. But and then the deal is he's going to pay him a certain type of coin. But he's Sifu all of them. So now we have it a little bit the opposite of the previous case. The previous case was that type of coinage was disqualified, withdrawn from circulation. Now, the same type of coin, the same denomination still exists, but the government announced that it's going to be a larger coin now. So as if, like, you have, you know, all of a sudden, I mean, nowadays we're not familiar with it. Our coins are not, you know, they don't depend on the value of the precious metal in them. They just depend on the government saying that it's worth a dollar or 25 cents or what have you. But in those days, they made it bigger. No, they said that they actually made it bigger.
They added some weight.
But it's called the same affair. So wait, that's what we're going to see. Yeah.
Like in England, they had pennies, and then they made them big pennies, and then they reduced them.
Okay, yeah. Mahu, so what's the din as far as this business, in other words, of giving him the same coin or not? Now, Rashi learns the question is according to Rav. Given that Rav had said yesterday that the coins were withdrawn from circulation, then you need to give him the new type of coinage. So the question would be, is that true also in this case where the coin was made larger, or maybe not? That's the question. Does he have to adapt to give him the new larger kind of coins, or can he get away with giving him the smaller ones? Most other Rishonim learn that no, the question can't really be according to Rav, because the halacha shouldn't be like Rav. Usually, in cases of monetary matters and in dinim amanus, usually the halacha is like Shmuel, and that's what it is over here. Why would we be asking like Rav if the halacha is like Shmuel anyway? So most Rishonim explain that indeed the question is like Shmuel. We said yesterday that if the guy has a way to get to Mishon or is going to be getting to Mishon, then the coin is usable over there, then fine. But what if he doesn't? What if, first of all, if the old coins are not accepted anywhere anymore because everybody wants the newer, bigger coins? Or he can't get to a place where the smaller ones are still accepted, etc. So he says, in that case, you have to give him the type of coin that's circulating at the time when you're paying back. So not the old smaller coins, but rather the new larger ones. So he says to him, even if the new coins are now the size of a sieve, see, that's where we see that it means the coin is actually physically larger. So even if the coin is now the size of a sieve, it's much as big. Yes. That's what we're going to worry. Right. The person who bought the payers, the point is going to be paying in these larger coins. Yeah. Right. So he says, even if it's the size of a tautia, which is, a tautia is a roiva, a quarter calf. We don't mean the coin doesn't weigh a quarter calf. We mean it's the size, the diameter of it is the size of a quarter calf measurement. It would be a huge coin. It's an exaggeration. It doesn't literally mean you would never find a coin the size of a sieve or the size of a tautia, but it's a way of saying, like, no matter how big it gets, The problem is, Valka Zylan Peri, but don't you have the problem that now produce is worth less relative to this coin? The Pashto is a larger coin, which has more precious metal in it, is now going to have greater buying power, because again, that's how coinage worked in those days. It depended on the amount of precious metal on the coin. So before, it might have been, let's say, that you need 10 of the old coins to buy a pound of fruit. Now you only need 7 or 8, let's say, for example. On the face of it, then, if these coins now have greater purchasing power, then you have a problem of ribis. you borrowed, effectively you borrowed at the time, that you borrowed the amount of money that you agreed you're going to pay the amount of coins, you're going to pay 10 coins, which back then would have bought a pound of apples, let's say. Now 10 of those coins are going to buy you a pound and a half of apples because they're larger. That's ribbit.
That's ribbit.
Well, it's a okay. Before we should discuss the question, are we talking? Would it be? Is it because he borrowed X amount and he's paying back a larger amount? He's probably paying back an amount that has much greater purchasing power. So okay, we're trying to discuss the question. Are we talking? Is it a question that it might be
more of the larger purchasing?
No, Vipassitas is giving that. Vipassitas, we assume, he's giving him the same number of coins of the larger ones. That's what we're going to see. Wait, because that's if he says no, some of the you're supposed to show, and he didn't say that you reduce the number of coins in Vipassitas. I mean, same number of coins. That's the question. But that's the question. Why not?
Has to reduce now. Because it contains more silver and
but that's the question. But on the face of it, he's saying no, some of the you're supposed to show implies the same number of coins and the larger ones. You borrowed, meaning you bought the produce on credit. You were supposed to pay 10 of the smaller coins. Now you're going to be paying 10 of the larger ones, which has a much greater purchasing power. Okay, is it ribis d'oraisa? Is it maybe only ribis d'rabbanan? That's a different issue, but whatever.
Is it inflation?
What?
Is it inflation?
That's the question. Omer Ravashi chazinan. So we have to consider, it's really deflation then, effectively. Chazinan. We have to consider, yes, it's true, you would be able to buy more payers with these coins, but you have to look into the economics of it. Why is it now, for example, that before a pound of fruit would have cost you 10 of these coins and now it's only going to cost you 7 or 8, let's say? If it's in fact the reason for the change in prices is because the coins have been made larger, then you're right. You have to deduct, you have to reduce the number of coins to avoid problems of ribbit. So you're only going to pay the number of coins that will have the same purchasing power as the old small ones. But on the other hand, if you find at some point later on, after the new coins are in circulation, and you find you need fewer of them to pay for produce, but it's not because they're larger, but rather because the market value itself has gone down, meaning, in other words, Rashi says, there's now a greater supply. And, you know, anybody who's learned basic economics, you know, you have supply and demand are what determine prices. The ways to lower prices are either you have less demand or you have more supply. In this case, you have more supply. Let's say Rashi says, for example, there was a lot of rain, so the produce grew much better than usual. So you could have, in other words, coincidentally, it happens that the coins were made larger and now you had a bumper crop and therefore prices are low because there's a lot more supply for the same amount of demand.
Or you could have both.
But at least if there's reason that you could, if you can attribute it to the fact that there's a good harvest, then we do not deduct, then we make them pay the full number of coins, even though they're larger, because then there's no, then at least that's the thing. According to the Mephoshim, we say that the issue here wasn't ribis d'oraisa anyway, which it's a little hard to say that it would be ribis d'oraisa. It would only be if you agreed to it at the time of the loan. If it's ribis d'rabbanan, right, then that minakinan means we deduct
from the number
of coins. So loy minakinan lay, we don't deduct. Milosh nikui, that's what it means. Yeah. So then we don't deduct because then it doesn't. Then there's no reason for it to look like ribis. Then it's obviously attributable, or at least if it's possibly attributable to the good harvest, and therefore no reason to there. Therefore no reason that he should have to pay any less. Okay, the problem is, fine, but after all, the fact is, leaving aside face value of the coins, the fact is the larger coins are worth more in the sense that they have more silver in them. If you were to melt them down, you would have more silver than you would have out of the old coins. Isn't it ribis because of that problem? So never mind purchasing power, not purchasing power. The fact is, you made a deal where you're going to pay him 10 of the old coins, which were altogether a pound of silver. Now you're going to be paying him 10 of the new coins. Okay, it's because there was a good harvest, et cetera. But still, the new coins between them have a pound and a half of silver. You're paying him an extra half a pound of silver. Isn't that ribbit? Ella, no. Rather, the way you work it is as follows. You don't make it depend on the prices, but rather... But that's what we're assuming, that it didn't. If silver had gone down in value, it wouldn't have more purchasing power. The same, it does have more purchasing power now. You can buy the same amount with fewer of these coins.
But you can buy more with.
You can buy more with the same number.
More
yeah.
silver by.
Well, that's what we're arguing. More silver. That's the argument.
The same
is.
Amount.
Well, that no, we were saying that the larger coins do buy more, but not necessarily because of the more silver. It could be because it could be because the supply has gone up. But now we're saying there's another point.
Because
the supply
cheaper.
Of produce. The supply of produce.
Yeah,
imachmas tivazil. If it's only because it's not necessarily even if machmas tarazil. That's the point. Even if the change in prices is only or at least a major portion of it is because. But then it's not. No. The fact is, then you're always going to have machmas tiva. No, the point is, you could have, for example, that again. You'll need fewer coins to buy the same amount of produce, but not machmas tiva, but rather machmas tara. But fine, forget that consideration. The fact is, the coins do have more silver in them, and therefore you have a problem of rivis. I'm not.
So you pay less. You give them the less.
But you're not. We're saying that that loy min hakinin lay. We're saying that if there was machmas tara, you're paying him more silver. Now, how does that work?
You pay double more because the prices went down and you're still giving more silver.
Ella, he held it a papa for Rav Huna Bredi Rav Yeshua Abdi Uga. So no, rather what we have to do is this way that Rav Papa and Rav Huna Bredi Rav Yeshua one time passed in the case, the Zuzi with such coins, the coins that had been made larger, they did an actual case, meaning there was an actual case that came before them in Halacha, where a case like this, where somebody had lent somebody else money and the deal was he's going to pay him back X number of coins. The coins were made larger, the Zuzi, with coins. Da Gardemis Taya, so they went to Agardemis, the trader, the Arab trader. Taya means the Arab. Agardemis maybe was his name. It could be Agardemis is also, you find in some Gemaras, as somebody like a person who's responsible for fixing prices in the market. I don't know, that was the name of the tribe, I don't know. Maybe it's Meloshin Ta'a, like wandering around. I don't know, whatever. Anyway, so they checked with him at Yud B'tmanya, up to 10 to 8. Meaning, what they found when they asked the Sagardimus, he had both types of coins available, the old and the new, and they found that 10 of the old ones will buy the same as 8 of the new ones. So therefore, that's considered, if the 10 to 8, so a difference of 5 to 4, in other words, a difference of 20%. So if the difference is that, then you can then you go ahead and do that. Then you have it. If the difference is that, shtus is something else. That's right. Well, actually, you usually shtus means shtus milagav. So actually, it would come out to the same thing. 20. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
1 out of 8.
Two out of eight. 10 to 8. 10 to 8.
2 out of 8.
2 out of 8. So 1 out of 4. So Rashi and Tosfos, Rashi and Tosfos quoting Rabbeinu Hananel, discuss what do we mean. Rashi says it means that in the end you give him 8, implying, in other words, that if it was 12 of the old to 8 of the new, you would also give him 8 of the new, etc. It would, if the difference was 9 to 8. Then you'd be paying him with the original number of coins, because that with the 9 or the 10 as the case may be. But Rabbi Hananel explains the other way around. Anyway, the point is, why are we saying why this difference? Why gap the one fifth? So a number of Rishonim talk about different. The Ravid gives us a couple of possibilities why. One is because we're talking about in terms of melting down the coins. Well. Melting down the coins, first of all, some of the silver gets burned away in the process of melting it. Second of all, you got to pay somebody to melt it down. Between all that, how I'm evaluated, you're going to lose about 20% of the value anyway. So therefore, if the difference is less than 20%, then we're not going to consider the difference. Then we're going to say, for example, 8 of the old for 8 of the new, as opposed to if the difference is 20% or more, then we will deduct accordingly in order to avoid issues of ribis, with a larger amount of silver. What? So that's the thing. So then we say, then for example, in the Sagardimus Taya's case, for example, 10 of the old coins bought the same amount and had the same amount of silver in them as 8 of the new ones. And so the deal was, if you originally lent him money or sold him produce or whatever, and said you have to pay me 10 coins, and now these coins have gotten larger by 20%, then instead you're paying him 8 of the new coins.
So yeah.
Yes. That's one reason that Ivet says. The other reason that Ivet says is because coins themselves, and in those days anyway, there was a certain amount of variation in them. Not every coin weighed exactly the same amount. The difference, the variation between the heaviest and the lightest coins of the same denomination could be up to 20%. Again, we don't have that nowadays with machine-produced coins, but, you know, yeah. Okay. Omer Rabba. Hazardik matei shachaver liyama gadol potter. If somebody throws somebody else's coin into the ocean, then he's potter. My time. Wait. My timer. Why is that? Omar, because he can say, Homanach kamach. Look, it's sitting there on the sea floor right in front of you. Go take it. He borrows chocolate. If you want, take it. Wait. Whatever you want to ask, either the Gemara is going to ask or Rishonim are going to ask. So wait. Vahani mili v'tzlulin dekachazile. Now, this is only talking about if the water is clear, where you can see the coin right there. Avo achorin dekachazile. But if the water is muddy and therefore you can't see the coin, loy, then not. Achorin means muddy. Cloudy, whatever. So therefore you can't see the bottom, then not. Actually, Tosfos says it's not really a question. It's not really, Tosfos explains it's not really a question of whether the water is clear or muddy. It's really a question of, is it a situation where you would be able to send a diver to go dive down and get it? So it doesn't matter. Even if it's cloudy water, if a diver would be able to dive in and get the coin, then that's the equivalent of it being clear, and vice versa. Vahani mili d'adya adriye. Furthermore, all of this is only talking about if he pushed it. So in other words, he didn't pick it up out of the guy's hand and throw it in, but rather he knocked it out of his hand, knocked it, or some of them say rolled it, whatever. So he never picked it up. He was never koine it with hagbah. Avol shakle biyode, but if he actually picked it up with his hand, migzo gazle, then it's considered he was an actual gazlan, and then ashava boy mevid. Then fine, you could talk about whether what he did was the reason why, by the way, Rashi says the reason he's potter is because it's grumma. It's grumma in the sense, what did he do? He took this coin and pushed it or rolled it or whatever into the water.
He hit his hand or whatever.
Yeah. And since the coin is accessible, since it's able to be gotten by a diver, all it is then Rashi learns, a case of grumma. Grumma benizikin is potter. Indirectly, you're causing that he's going to have to get a diver to get this coin, but that's indirect. So that's, we're showing him talk about the question that when we say he's chayev, does it mean that he himself is responsible to pay for the diver and is responsible to pay for the diver? But if we're talking about that he's potter, if we're talking about that it's grumma, then no, then he may not be responsible for that.
But that grumma overcomes that way.
Kind of. I mean, Adam would learn them if he does a direct hezek. This is indirect. But wait. Okay. So anyway, if he actually picked it up with his hand, migzo gazle hashava boy meved, then he actually, there's a mitzvah, v'heshev esagzeh l'ashagazol. So then he has to do a proper return. He can't get away with it was only grumma, because it wasn't only grumma. Once he picked it up, he became chayev, and anything that happened stayed after that. Now, one thing is, we're going to talk about, we're going to bring several, this is the first of a few cases where Rabba says that somebody is potter, and Rashi says it's a matter of grumma. Now, we're going to talk later on, we'll talk on Amud Beis about we'll start talking about the matter of grumma versus garmi, which we've talked about here and there a number of times. We're going to talk about it on Amud Beis, we're going to talk about it in a couple of days on Daf Kuf. All of the Rishonim get into the question, is what Rabba is saying here valid al pi halacha? So one way of looking at it is that Rabba may be whole. First of all, so Rashi actually learns that there really is no difference between grumma and garmi. Whoever says garmi is chayev, which we'll learn on Amud Beis, is Rav Meir, and that's the halacha, would say that grumma is also chayev in these cases, according to Rashi. Therefore, it would come out to Rashi. What Rabba is saying doesn't end up being valid al pi halacha.
Let me ask you, okay. What's the difference between grumma and garmi?
That's what we're trying to figure out. Rashi says there is no difference. It's just two ways of saying the same thing. The Mordechai talks about the idea that what does he say that grumma, which is when we say is potter, is a less common kind of thing to do, whereas garmi is where it's a more common thing to do, and therefore the chachamim can't see you. The chachamim don't want you to be damaging somebody else's property, even indirectly. But fine, if it's a rare situation, then they don't really have. No, the Mordechai says it's more common. There are other Rishonim, we'll talk about them in a second, and we say direct or indirect. Wait. The Mordechai says it doesn't matter direct or indirect. It's a matter of is it a common situation or not. If it's a common situation, the Chachamim find a need to cancel you to prevent this kind of thing from happening. Otherwise, people will always go and be doing this kind of thing and get away with it. As opposed to, if it's a rare situation, then you can call it groma, and the chachamim won't cancel you. And then most Rishonim, Tosfos, the Ramban, many other Rishonim, talk about various variations in that Gami is more direct, groma is less direct, or groma is meant to, you meant to cause the hezek, Gami rather, is you meant to cause the hezek, and groma you didn't. Or Tosfos discusses earlier in the Masechta that groma might be where you're not doing something directly to the object itself, and Gami would be where you're doing something directly that directly affects the object itself. On Omid Beis, we'll see a little more of that detail, but yeah. So again, so one way of looking at it is that maybe what Rabba is saying over here is only according to some opinions, and halacha wouldn't be like that. Or maybe not. Maybe even if we do distinguish between groma and garmi, we can say that this is a case of groma, whereas if it was garmi, if he had picked up the coin, well then he'd be a gazlan, that would be different. But in other cases, if he had done something directly to the coin, as opposed to here indirectly, where he's just causing that the guy has to hire a diver, then it would be garmi and he'd be chayav. Masiv Rava. So Rava asks on Rava, a bright
garmi is direct.
So that's the thing. According to many Rishonim, yes, but not everybody agrees to that. Again, according to Rashi, there is no difference between them, and according to the Mordechai, it's a question of how common a situation is. Okay, you know, this is why when we daven every day, this is the kind of thing why we're davening for it, because we need a Sanhedrin Gdola to be able to deal with all these machlok, with all these unresolved machlok that in the last 2,000 years. Yeah. Masiv Rava. So Rava asked the question. So, okay, Rava, you're telling me then that this person pushed the coin or rolled it or whatever, and it landed in the water. So we're saying that it can be considered only groma and he'd be potter. But a brisa says, "Ein mechallin al moris shein and birshusa." You cannot redeem maisa sheni on coins that are not in your possession. Ketzad hoyloi moris kastra. Suppose, for example, you have coins in kastra. Rashi says the name of a place, but it's a very dangerous place. There's some people say kastra is the Latin word for an army camp. There's a lot of places that end in castor or chester or whatever that come from that. So it could mean that it was in a Roman army camp where it's dangerous. You can't really go in there and then take it. Yeah. Anyway, haramelech, or the money was in haramelech, which is an area of Eretz Yisrael, which used to be, we learned about it, and used to be very heavily populated by Jews, but then afterwards, after the Churban, after the Wars of Bar Kokhba, whatever, it was depopulated of Jews, and then Goyim took it over, and it became a very dangerous place for Jews to go. Ocean not for Kisali Yamagadol, or his money bag fell into the ocean, a Mechalim, and you can't be Mechalim using such money, because not in your possession. So therefore, in other words, once it's in the Yamagadol, Lechora, it means it's considered lost. So what are you telling me then, that the guy is only Mechalim to redeem, Maaseh Sheni? I'm a rabba, shiny little in Maaseh. Yes, but it's different when it comes to Maaseh. They're in Motzi B'Yodcha. True. By Maaseh, though, it's a Xeris HaKosu, the money actually has to be right now available in your possession. Because the Pasuk says that you should bundle up the money in your hand. And in this case, you can't bundle it up in your hand because it's sitting at the bottom of the ocean. That doesn't mean that in general, in particular, when it comes to Nizokin, which is what we're dealing with over here, that the same rules would apply. By Nizokin, different rules may apply. It's at the bottom of the ocean, true, but it is possible to hire a diver to go and get it. It is reachable. Therefore, it's considered enough in the original owner's reshus, to the extent that we don't say you're a direct mazik by throwing it in. You're only an indirect mazik, grama.
Like a zuto shoyam or things like that.
No, zuto shoyam would mean, for example, that it was at the bottom. The only way to get it would be like out in the waves or whatever. Here we're talking about it's at the bottom, but it's still reachable. Yeah. Another case of groma that Rabba talks about. If somebody disfigures a coin that belonged to somebody else, so like he rubbed out or hammered out or whatever the picture on it, the engraving on it, then he's potter. My time of because he didn't actually do anything. The metal of the coin is still there. This is only talking about if he banged it with a hammer and therefore flattened it out. So all the same volume of metal is still there. It's just it's not usable as a coin anymore because the figure on
it. Well, yeah, but it's enlarged in size.
That's not the point. The point is you still have the actual same amount of metal, right? But if he rubbed it with sandpaper or plane or what have you, then he actually, because he took away some of the mamoshes of the coin, then it's not grumma anymore. If he only flattened out the image on the coin, then it's grumma. But if he actually removed some of the metal of the coin, you can't call it grumma.
Coins are always in a plastic with a. But
he's meant to be a diet. Right. So, okay, the David wants to say that we're, again, similar to the previous case, that we have to be talking about the coin was lying there on the table and he banged it with the hammer, not he picked it up and banged it with the hammer, yeah, and you'd have the same as in the previous case, yeah.
Missing the tzuri, can't use it for my tshani.
Exactly, you can't use it for my tshani, you can't use it as a coin in general, but nevertheless, yeah. Again, is this la locha? You have the various Rishonim and then the various posts you talk about yesterday. It's not usable for my tashani, right? Because you said yesterday you have to have a coin. The tzar tzar has to be alpha, moshim tzura. Right. Okay. Mosiv Rava. So again, Rava asks some Rava from a case which we've had a couple of times already. He koral eine v'sima. If a master hits his eved Knani on his eye and blinded him, al ozne v'chersho, or he hit him on his ear and made him deaf, Eved Yotzeh Behem L'Cheirus, then that kind of injury is the kind of thing that the Eved Knani would go free for. It's one of the Rosh Eivarim. Keneged Einev Einev Roya, but if you hit him in front of his eye, like for example, he banged on the wall in front of him, the Einev Roya, and now he's not able to see anymore because of psychological damage. Keneged Ozneh Einev Shemeya, or near his ear and now he can't hear anymore. Einev Yotzeh Behem L'Cheirus, then the Eved does not go free with that. So, because then that's not a direct thing. It has to be that his eye or his it has to be a direct thing. We learned that before. We said the Ivis Nafshe, that he himself allowed himself to be too frightened, whatever.
Still couldn't run away. He couldn't run away.
Yeah, that too, yeah. The point is that the point is, L'chora, at least in the case of the ear, there's no visible difference between a person who's deaf and not. Maybe with the eye, okay, there's a visible difference whether a person can see with his eye or not, but an ear, there's no visible difference. And you still say that it's considered a direct thing, but when he hit him on his, when he boxed him on his ear and made him deaf, and therefore he goes free for that. Nezek Shein and Nicker we'll get to soon, actually. Remember, we did talk about when we learned about Nezek Shein and Nicker and Gittin, that the real meaning of it is not that it's not visible, as in it's not visible to the naked eye, but you'd be able to see it under a microscope, let's say. The real Nezek Shein and Nicker we said, is a difference is when it's only a change of status in halacha. Similar to what we talked about in the Mishnah about Truma that became Tomei, etc. We'll get to Hezek Shein and Nicker soon. Anyway, though, the point is...
Losing your hearing is a Hezek Shein
and Nicker? No, it's a Hezek Nicker. But the question is, that the question is, on the face of it, nothing is missing from his body. It's not called Hezek Shein and Nicker because that has a different meaning in halacha. But practically speaking, it is on the face of it. There's no actual visible difference between a deaf ear and a non-deaf one. Nevertheless, we say the Eved goes free. Same thing over here. Okay, so he banged the coin with a hammer. Fine. You want to argue there's the same amount of metal in it? Why shouldn't it be considered a real hezek? The answer is Rabba L'taymei. Yes, but Rabba goes according to his own svara. The Amar Rabba Chershel Ovid Nerek, which we learned before in this connection, that Rabba had said that if a person makes his father deaf, Neharag, then he can be killed for that. Because a person injures his father or mother and makes them and wounds them, he's chayv misa. Even in one of you, it's impossible to make him deaf without there being an actual wound. The tips of the dama naflos leba'une, because a drop of blood fell into his ear and messed things up and made him deaf. In other words, so there is. It's true. Looking from the outside, just looking at the guy's ear from the outside, you wouldn't notice a difference. But if you were to look at it with medical equipment, you know, whatever, you would see an actual difference. Therefore, by the same token, with the Eved, yeah.
Something was stored inside the ear.
Yeah, the membrane is stored. It's bloody.
It's bloody.
Yeah. Obviously, we have Nera. That means it was a Surah. Sure. So therefore, so that's the difference. In other words, as opposed to when he banged the coin, again, the same amount of metal was still there. Another case, if somebody nicked the ear of somebody else's cow, which now makes it possible to ever be brought as a carbon, potter, then he's also potter. My timer, what's the reason? Para ked kaima kaima, because the cow is still the same cow as before, it's not worth any less. In that sense, you can't consider that he actually did anything to it. Can't be brought as a korban. Not all oxen are destined to be brought as korbanos. So you can't say, in other words, that he made him a loss in that now I can't use this animal as a korban. You weren't necessarily going to use it as a korban anyway. I think because the expression is brought, it says here in the Seres HaShas, we had in Kedushin as well, and there I think the subject was a shur. I guess that became the expression, and then therefore they use it again. Tosfos discusses over here, by the way, that there will be a difference. Here we're talking about that the animal was chulin, so now you're preventing him, and you're doing groma, he's not able to make it hektish. He's not able to bring it as a korban ever. As opposed to if the animal was already designated as a korban, and then you nick the ear, that's different. But then you can't say that it's groma. Then that's a more direct thing. Yeah.
So what is the chayavat?
So then he'd be chayav to pay for that. The guy has money to bring another. I mean, if it was nedava, then it doesn't matter anyway. Nedava is hay maharezu, and therefore the animal is fossil, and that's it. He doesn't have any chiyuv. But if it's a neder, where he's going to be obligated, well, we'll talk actually on Omid Beis. We're going to talk about the whole business of davar agodim lamam. This animal, which is now designated as a korban, is not necessarily his mammon. We talked about that earlier in the sector, where the kodshim are considered the owner's mammon or not. But it's davar hagodim lamammon. If now the animal is possible, he's going to have to replace it with another animal, which costs money.
But if it's worth the same thing, sell it and buy another one.
That
has to be higher. Poor person,
got one. No, but Benzina is right. He should be able to sell it and buy another one. I don't know. Let's say there's not another one available. I don't know.
If
he sells it, he could use the money to buy it. It's a good question. I don't know. I mean, maybe also, you know, we could. It may also depend what kind of korban we're talking about, right? If we're talking about, for example, the herd, actually, it can't be swapped out for another one. Masiv Rava. So again, Rava asks on Rava. A brayta says, "Ha'oisim malacha b'mechatas v'paraskatas." If somebody does work with the mechatas, with the water that's designated for the paradroma, Rashi gives the example that he used it for weighing, which we learned in Gittin. Does that mean that he put it on one side of a scale and put something else on the other side, or does it mean like he actually used the water itself for weighing? Like for example, he put meat in it to see the volume of the meat. Whatever, that would cost all the water, because if you do malacha with the water before the ashes of the parah aduma have been put into it, it becomes fossil. Over parah schata, so you did work with the parah schata, so you put a load on it, for example, which makes it fossil. Potem adidon of a chai b'din ha-shamayim. Now, on the face of it, the point is, malacha, who the reason why you potter if you did malacha with it, delen min ker hazeitu, because there's no visible hezek. This is nezek chain and nezek, by the way, where there's no visible difference in the water or in the parah before and after, but there's a difference in halacha. That's what we call nezek chain and nezek.
Absolutely nothing. Not like the loss of hearing.
Not like the loss of hearing, where, again, if you were to look into the ear, you would see, yeah, exactly. Avot sorim, but on the face of it, the braisa seems to imply that if you actually nicked the ear, deminker hazeka, where there is a visible difference, you could actually look with a microscope. No, nick meaning that before the ear, the edge of the ear was smooth, and now there's a nick in it. If you rub your fingernail along it, like you do with a shita knife, your fingernail will catch. On the face of it, if you're certain, deminker hazeka, there is a visible hezek. It sounds like you'd be chayev in based in as well. So what are you telling me that you're potter because not all oxen are meant to be brought as korbanos? So from that implication, it sounds like you are. Amri, so the answer, who are deemed after the third impotter? Actually, no. The Braisa doesn't mean to say that only if you did malacha with it, which is only a difference in halacha, are you potter. Even if you did, even if you nicked the EU, you would also be potter. Even if you only did malacha, where there's not even a visible difference, or there is a difference in halacha, even then you chayav b'din shemayim, where you might have thought fakir. Not to say that in one case you'll be chayav b'din adam and in the other case you chayav b'din shemayim. In both cases you chayav b'din shemayim. But that's the chiddush that otherwise you would have thought. Third and maybe okay, you made an actual change in the animal, you should be at least chayav b'din shemayim. But if you did malacha, maybe not even dinei shemayim, and therefore the Braita is telling you that no, you are chayav dinei shemayim. The Tosfos discusses a little bit over here, by the way, and other Rishonim also talk about. Are we talking about that this para was already designated as the para adroma? Or are we talking about it's Sam? It was born. It may well become a part of Adroma, but it hasn't yet officially been designated. So that would be a difference, yeah. So let's discuss this, because that's the point. I mean, on the face of it, not water is not necessarily, okay, you know, water has been drawn. It's kosher for part of Adroma water, but it's not necessarily meant to become part of Adroma water, as opposed to a part of Adroma that was already designated as such. Yeah. And Rabba says a fourth case, a third of shtar shachaber, if somebody burns somebody else's shtar, so the person had a shtar chayv that somebody owed him money, and he burnt it.
What's the bill for shtar?
What?
The dollar.
Dollar or dollar bills? I mean, they are considered shtaris, for example, as far as pidyon aben. Are they considered a shtar as far as this thing? Maybe. Maybe, because in effect, that's what a dollar bill is. The shtar chayv that the government owes you a dollar, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, so if you burn such a shtar, you're potter.
You need to try it.
Come on. The Amalei, because the mazik is able to say to the other person, okay, I burnt your piece of paper. It was a piece of paper that said that you were owed $1,000. Not my problem. Yeah.
There you go. Put your dollars here.
Yeah, come on. Mask for Rami Bachama. However, Rami Bachama now, as obviously we had Rava asking on Rava, now we have Rami Bachama coming in and asking, hey, chidomi. What exactly is the situation over here? A shtar is not necessarily something that is going to be able to be collected on, because if there are edim available who know what it said in the shtar, so the original edim was signed on the shtar are still around and they remember what was in it. Then what's the problem? Let them write him out a new, perfectly good shtar.
The edim would then apply?
Yes, the edim will come back, and Tosfos discusses it briefly over here, but yes, you can do it, because it's effectively, it's the equivalent of saying that we learned way back in Ksubas, that when edim are signed on a shtar, nasik mishu nechter edusim bebeisin, it's the equivalent of their edus having been cross-examined in bebeisin. The pashtus, okay, that's a good question. Probably they would write the old date. I don't know, but maybe not.
Well, if they remember the date that
if they remember, maybe
no. But the date is not. They write that shtar as a different date. So
no, but they might write the original shtar. Yeah, the original shtar was as of such and such a date. Right now in Tavshanai involved, we're writing that this shtar that the original shtar was written in Tavshanai and Hay. Yeah. Anyway. So let them write a perfectly good new shtar. And by the way, Mephoshim point out that we would have to be talking about that the shtar was already niskayim, because if it was, again, if the shtar was not mekuyim, if the shtar was not already certified as a valid shtar by Beis Din, you always have the possibility that it might have been a forged shtar to begin with. You can't just go necessarily and write a whole new shtar. So only if it already had a certification on some Beis Din that they validated the signatures and found it again. Yeah. The Eidim like a Sadi, and if there's no Eidim about the amount or the date or whatever that was in the shtar, Anan Minoya didn't. How is the Nizik supposed to collect on the amount in the shtar anyway? What proof does he have that the shtar was worth $1,000? The Nizik and the Mazik, I mean, can always claim it was only a dollar.
Mazik claims it's not. He's always meant to claim it was worth.
That's the question. Then how are we supposed to know? Yeah. So Rava says, you're right, you have to say that this case must be talking about where he trusts him. The Rashi that we have printed in front of us says that the one who owns the shtar, the one who is holding the shtar, believes the one who burnt it. The Yamshel Shleimer, the Marshal, says it should be the other way around. That the one who burnt it believes the one who had the shtar. In other words, the person who had the shtar says this was a shtar that was for a debt of $1,000, and the person who burnt it says, yes, I agree, I trust you, I believe it was $1,000. I'm still claiming that I'm only grumma and therefore I only burnt a piece of paper, but I'm not arguing on the actual amount in the shtar. So therefore, that's what we're saying. Nevertheless, Rabba is saying he'd be potter. No, you can't write a new shtar because you don't have the edim available. You have Reuven, the owner of the shtar. You have Shimon, the one who burnt it. That doesn't help to write a new shtar to make Levi chayav.
If he agrees or he doesn't agree on the
contract. In other words, the point is like this: if Shimon, the mazik, didn't even agree, then of course there's nothing to talk about. Reuven doesn't have any proof that the shtar said $1,000.
Same thing if he does agree.
Because if he does agree, you could argue that now in that case, well, good, you know, Hadaf Baldin Kamei Shimon has Shimon is admitting that he burnt a shtar which is worth $1,000. You should make him pay $1,000. However, that's what Rabba is coming in and saying, that no, because after all, he can say, yes, it's set on $1,000, but after all, it's only a piece of paper. It's grum. Actually, then this statement of Rabba about the shtar is actually dependent on a machlokas between Rav Shimon and the Rabbanim. Namely, Rav Shimon d'amar dovar gurim l'mamon k'mamon d'ami mechayev. According to Rav Shimon, who says, as we've learned before, something that in and of itself is not mamon, but the loss of it is going to lead to a loss of mamon. So I mentioned it briefly on Amud Aleph in the case of Kodshim, but here we have another example, a shtar. The shtar itself is worth 5 cents as a piece of paper, but it's gurim because the loss of it loses him $1,000. Yeah.
So it make a difference if we say Ede
Vadiya or Ede whatever. Ede Masir, Ede No, that's relevant to Torah Get or whatever. Yeah.
In terms of do the Edim create the star, or are they just a raya?
They're just Ede Raya. They're just Ede Biru. Yeah, I mean they're Lo Yivri Sade El Shkori, as the Gemara says. Right. In other words, they're not the kind of they're not Ede Kiyum in the sense that without them the thing never happened, as is true with a get or with Kedushin or a get, for example. They're Ede Birur, fine, but you know, still you need them in order to establish how much was in the shtar. In other words, again, you can't be Mechayev Levi, the original borrower, based on Shimon admitting, yes, I burnt a shtar that's worth $1,000. Yes. Okay. So, according to Reb Shimon, who says Davar Agrim Lamaman is Kamaman Dami Mechayev, then you should be Mechayev him. Yes, the shtar itself is maybe only worth 5 cents, but the loss of it leads to a loss of $1,000, therefore be Mechayev him. L'Rabbanan, Dami Davar Agrim Lamaman, Lav Kamaman Dami, whereas according to the Rabbanan, who say in such a case that it's not considered like Mamon, Loi Mechayev, and then like Rabba says, then he wouldn't be Chayev. Maski for Rav Huna Breder Rishua. Amr to Shamat Le Rav
Shimon.
Well, that's it. Maski for Rav Huna Breder Rishua. Amr to Shamat Le Rav Shimon. Dover Agum Lamam Kamam and Dami. But you know, I mean, when you think about it, where did you find what's the case that we said? Where would be a case that you say that Rav Shimon holds that Dover Agum Lamam Kamam and Dami? The Dover Sheikre Mamon. When you have something that in and of itself has a certain monetary value. The case that we had previously in Meruba was, for example, exactly that case, a kodshim. Kodshim shechayev b'achriyuson. You had an animal of kodshim. Somebody else stole it. It's davar agur in the moment. But an animal itself has monetary value. This particular animal, once it was declared kodshim, it's not your moment anymore. But an animal in and of itself has a certain monetary value. Or, for example, it would have to be something that has a in and of itself a monetary value. Kidderaba, like we find
so
that Rami. Even Reb Shimon should hold that the star is not Dover Agur in the moment. Kidderaba, as for example, we find that Rabba says, the Omer Rabba, Gozo Chometz Lifnei Pesach, suppose somebody steals Chometz before from somebody else before Pesach, or Ba'ach of a Sorfer B'moyed, and somebody else went and burnt that chometz during b'moyed, usually b'moyed would mean during chol hamoed. Rashi actually says here that b'moyed means on erev Pesach at the time when it's supposed to be burnt. Yeah, potter. Then that person who burnt it as potter, shakol mitzuhim all of the bari, because everybody has a mitzvah at that time to burn, to destroy chometz. Which, by the way, it's not so simple to say what we're saying over here. Everybody has a mitzvah. A number of achronim, the Noda Yehuda, and a bunch of others talk about. I mean, isn't it supposed to be that the owner of the chometz that has a responsibility to burn it? Where do you ever hear that everybody has a responsibility? So they talk about maybe mitzad over here. We're talking about because the owner is not available, or maybe in general because kol yisrael arim zelazeh. So you have a mitzvah to make sure that this other person is not going to be over on the issue of chometz.
Is it considered his chometz at all at that point?
Well, once it comes the time of beer, then it won't be his anymore. That's the famous thing. That's not beer shulse, but the Torah considers it as a beer.
What's this chometz example come to?
Because that's an example. Because la'achra Pesach machlokes of Shimon Rabbanan. Whereas, for example, Rabba continues, if he only burnt it after Pesach, then that would be machlokes of that would be the same machlokes of Shimon Rabbanan. L'Rav Shimon Dama Dama going the moment to Mam and Dami Chayev. According to Rav Shimon, the one who burnt it is going to have to pay. The gazlan. Why? Because we learned on Tzadik Vav Amud Beis in the Mishnah that a person steals chometz. Pesach passes, that chometz is also b'hana, he's able to say to the owner, Haresh Allah Chafanecha, I stole this piece of chometz, I'm returning it to you. I, before it was mutter and now it's also, not my problem. You, the third party, by coming in and burning that chometz after Pesach, prevented him from you weren't Mekayim the mitzvah anymore, the Pesach's already over, and you prevented him from being able to say Haresh Allah Chafanecha. Therefore, according to Rav Shimon, now chometz in and of itself has an intrinsic value. If it weren't for the fact that it's also because of Pesach, chametz would have a certain intrinsic value. So that's a case of Javra Gorim Lamaman, Kamaman Dami. Then you would say Chayev. L'Rabbanan Dami Javra Gorim Lamaman Lav Kamaman Dami Potter. Because the chametz itself is not worth anything. But, continues Rav Huna Breda Rav Yeshua, the Javra Shein Ikrim Maman Miyam Rinnan, who says that Rav Shimon would hold the same thing by something such as a shtar, which doesn't even have the intrinsic value that you're ascribing to it. But mainly, you're talking about the value of chometz. Okay, the value of chometz, it has a certain value, and we're talking about paying that value. Here, the value of the paper is much less than the value of the chayv. Yeah.
5 cents is not worth anything, right?
Yes. Well, I'm not saying it's not worth anything. Fine, make them pay 5 cents. The point is, there's a difference between he stole a loaf of chometz, which is worth $2, and now you're talking about whether he has to pay that same $2 or not, versus he burnt a shtar, which the paper is worth 5 cents, and you're talking about the chayv, which is $1,000. So who says that Reb Shimon? Who says Reb Shimon would disagree with the Rabbanan on that? Amar Amemer, so Amemer says no. Rather, there's a different way of looking at it. Man de doyin dina de garmi. Those who hold that you're chayav for dina de garmi, specifically Reb Meir, as we will learn the day after tomorrow, Bez Hashem. Magbi beid mesh shtar amalia. He will hold that the one who burnt the shtar is going to have to pay the full value of the shtar. Actually, technically, the shach says not really the full value. There would be a slight discount because you always have with a shtar, there is always the possibility you won't get paid. Or besides, never mind that you won't get paid, also there is the hassle of going to Beis Din and dunning the guy for it. That's worth a certain amount of money anyway. But basically the whole value. So what we're saying is that both Rabbanan and Rav Shimon might agree that he's potter if you say that groma is potter. But if you look at it from the point of view of it says that it's not Dabra Gomel Mammon. The Rabbanan would hold Dabra Gomel Mammon is not Kamammon, and Rav Shimon would say it's not even considered Dabra Gomel Mammon because it doesn't have the same intrinsic value.
Shtar,
yeah. But they're right. But now a Maimer is coming in and saying yes, but there's another angle on it, which is from the point of view of groma, yes. But if you look at it as dina de garmi, as we discussed before, the difference between whether there is a difference between them.
No.
Both the Rabbanan and Reb Shimon might well call it groma. But we're saying Reb Meir would call it garmi. Reb Meir would be mechayev you, and since the halacha is like Reb Meir, dina de garmi. So it all depends. Again, according to Rashi, groma and garmi is two different words for the same thing, and therefore it means so you'd have a real machlokas over here. According to the various other Rishonim, that there's a difference, whether groma or garmi, the question would be, is this considered groma or is this considered garmi? If we say it's garmi, then according to the mayor, which is the halacha, you'd be chayav. If you say it's groma, everybody would agree you're bothered. So if you hold of Dina Degami, Magbi Beit Meir Shtar Amalia, then you will be able to collect the full value of the Shtar.
A ton of people don't hold of Dina Degami.
Yes, we're saying that Rabbi Meir holds of it, but the other Chachamim disagree with him. This is one of those rare cases where the Halacha is like Rabbi Meir against everybody else.
Because he holds of Dina Degami.
Yeah, well, yeah. Well, Man Deloid Doin Dina Degami, whereas whoever holds that Dina Degami is not a valid thing, Magbi Beit Meir Nior Ba'alma, then all you can collect is the value of the actual piece of paper, the 5 cents. Gemara tells a case, Hava Uda, there once was a case for Kafye Rafram, Lord of Ashi, that Rafram forced Rav Ashi, and collected from him Kikshura Latsalma, like a beam that would be used for engravings. It's a figure of speech, meaning if you want a beam that's going to be used to make an engraving or a statue or what have you, you use a really high quality beam without any defects in it. So it's the Gemara's way of saying like 100%. Now what's this case? Why is Rafam forcing Rav Ashi to do that? So Rashi says what happened was when Rav Ashi was younger, he burnt somebody's shtar, and therefore Rafam was forcing him to pay for that. There's a tremendous amount of discussion among the Mefarshim, what exactly was the situation over here, and this affects the halacha. Now we learned in Achovel that if a child does a net, that if a child is mazik somebody, a child was chovel and somebody, we said he's potter. Cheres shoytuv katan pigiyas and ra. Does that mean though? Is our Gemara implying though that nevertheless, when he gets older, he should have to pay? That's one way of looking at it, that maybe what Rashi means is that Rav Ashi burnt the shtar when he was a child under Bar Mitzvah, and now, that some of Farshim say, we're still so maybe he was potter then, but now, after he's Bar Mitzvah, he should be chayav to pay. By an evident issue, he said, I was a shaman lachar man. By Kotner didn't say it, but maybe nevertheless, maybe Beistin is responsible to make sure that he it's not a full chiyuv, but nevertheless, if somebody is in a position to force him to do it, maybe they should, or the person himself when he gets older should be doing it should be doing that. That's one way of looking at it. On the other hand, there's a lot of other explanations, including, for example, all of this may have been when Rav Ashi was still a child. As a child, he's for sure potter to pay, but the Rambam writes an interesting thing. Even though a katan who does or does a nezik or steals or what have you is potter from paying, nevertheless, Beis Din should hit him and then punish him so he doesn't become a juvenile delinquent. Based on this Gemara over here, it might be that the situation was that Rafram is telling Rav Ashi, you have your choice. You're either going to get petch or you're going to have to pay. And therefore, Rav Ashi decided to pay rather than get the petch. So there's that explanation.
As a kid.
Yet a whole nother explanation. Yet a whole other explanation is not like Rashi, not like Rashi that he himself actually burnt a shtar, but rather there was a case when Rav Ashi was older, when he was a dayan, not a basin, that there was such a case, somebody burnt somebody else's shtar. Rav Ashi was going to make the guy potter on the basis of grama, on the basis of the whole discussion before, and Rafram forced him in the sense that he convinced him with solid proofs that not so, that you have to make him pay. A lot of different angles and a lot of different explanations on what the situation was here exactly. So in Shulchan Aruch it says again the halacha is if a child does an aveira or a child does a hezek or whatever, you can't require them to pay, but it would be right when they get older to do tshuva for it and to try and repair the damage. Rav Chaim Vital, by the way, mentions that when he was a child, one time he said something disrespectful to his parents, and that when he got older and he was a Talmud, of the Arizal told him to undertake a long series of fasts to be mechaper for that, to do tshuva for that, even though he had done it as a child.
That's probably done at that point. They couldn't forgive him.
Also possible, but even if they forgave him, there still might be, there's the angle against them, and then there's the angle that there's the angle Beinot Olamachim. Okay, I guess let's stop over here because the next we have a long discussion that goes almost till the Mishnah.